Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting again with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of the TF Metals Report website, which we will link to below this interview. Craig, let's talk about the action this week, at least, in gold. Gold is slightly down it's about flat for this week, actually. Gold stocks, I think they're a bit down, although they are getting a little bit of a bounce back today. Look, we're seeing a bit more volatility in the U.S. markets. They're actually doing quite well today. We did get some growth data that came in as declining growth in the U.S. That really underperformed from the estimates. And who knows, maybe investors are taking that to mean that the Fed is going to pivot sooner than expected. And that's why the markets are up. There's a lot of cross currents in these markets, and we've talked so much about the weakness in the precious metals recently that it's nice to see maybe a little bit of a slowdown, at least today and heading into the end of the month. What are you taking away from the action this week in the markets?
Well, hi, guys. I think you can make the case that the worst is behind us, and that was pretty bad, right? I mean, geez, Louise, it took 12 weeks for the GDX to go from 29 to 41 and 1 week for it to go back to 35. But there should be, that's a logical support level. And if you look at the metals themselves, gold's got a lot of support between 1880 and 2000, or 1900, I mean. So it should, that's a place for that it should stop. And you can draw a trend line on the chart of silver, which is now finally getting through all of its May expirations, that shows support around 23. So, I mean, I think there's a chance that this is getting close to being done. It almost seems like, I don't know, it's impossible to lay this at the feet of any one thing, but the dollar has gone parabolic. And that may finally have run its course today, because there was a one point earlier this morning here on Thursday where the dollar traded at levels that it hadn't traded at since December of 2002. So that might mean the RSI is like 75 or 78 or something. I mean, it might mean the dollar is due to kind of give some of that back. You know, you run out of momentum after a while. So that would help too. That'd help us to find a floor too. And then finally, Corey, to your point, one, that dollar strength is playing heck with the other central banks of the world that are stuck on having to ease, like the Bank of Japan, People's Bank of China, even the ECB. So the Fed's going to get pressured from them to, hey, wait a second, you know, you can't get this aggressive on us or we're going to be toast. Our currencies are going to be toast. And then you throw on this GDP number today. The Atlanta Fed, you know, which does that GDP Now estimate, has been tracking, you know, between 0-1% all through the first quarter, even negative for a while. But even they were still at 0.4 plus on the plus side going into today. And then it comes in negative 1.4. Look, the ruling parties and the economists and the Wall Street guys will try to say, oh, yes, this isn't a recession. Well, look, man, you know, when I got my econ degree 35 years ago or whatever the hell it was, two consecutive quarters of negative GDP meant you were in a recession. So right now we're basically 90 days away potentially from being in a recession, and the Fed's talking about hiking Fed funds another 250 basis points before the end of the year. The result is a stagflationary recession. Combine that with all the pressure they're putting on the other central banks. Ain't no freaking way they're hiking that high. They're never going to get Fed funds up above or anywhere near the rate of inflation. Negative real interest rates persist and deepen again. And once again, gold and silver turn the corner.
Well, Craig, I think you set the table well there. And I was going to ask you about the strong dollar, but you've kind of already mentioned it. But I was also going to mention that strong dollar in combination with stagflation. We hear a lot about stagflation. We've had people come on and say we're not at stagflation yet because we haven't seen slowing growth. I'd say negative GDP growth is pretty negative. And we have not just high inflation, but high energy prices. And there are already signs that the labor markets are wobbling. So what is your take on a high dollar, which almost would seem deflationary, at the same time we're having stagflationary pressures and the potential of setting up for what many are think could lead to a recession? I mean, how do you balance that all out, the bizarre environment we're in?
Do you guys remember? I remember talking about, I spent a lot of time with this earlier this year, late last year. I'm sure we discussed it, because I discussed it so frequently on my site. Once it became clear the Fed was going to have to do this and go down this road, remember we talked about them trying to thread the needle? Does that ring a bell? You know, that they're going to kind of jawbone rates higher in the hope of, you know, kind of slowing the economy and getting inflation under control under that tool. But at the same time, that leads the dollar higher. And if the dollar can spike, that would put pressure on some of these commodity inputs and things like that. And maybe they can kind of somehow control inflation from that end too. That's kind of where this has played out. Again, I just suspect here that I don't know. The way the dollar's going up so fast, hell, it might be up another point tomorrow, you know? And maybe we're just in the final death spiral, you know, of all these other currencies versus the dollar, like Brent Johnson has talked about before. But maybe more likely is once you hit this point of a 20-year high, then now we get a pullback. And, you know, one more thing to your point there, Shad. I remember, and most folks here on KE Report remember, what back then I called the great disinflation bias trade of 2014, where the dollar index went from 80 to 100, 25% move in about 8 or 9 months. And man, that was when crude collapsed, you know, from like 100 down to 60 and copper. I mean, everything has got the crap kicked out of it. And that was a big disinflation bias. We've now moved from 90 to 103. So a little over half, more than half of that same percentage move. I don't think we've really seen it priced in so much yet. I mean, crude's well over 100 still. Copper has at least hung in there. The grains are going like bananas. I mean, and you look not only at crude, the distillates of crude. I mean, diesel prices right now are doing the opposite of what happened to the crude when back in April of 2020. Jet fuel, natural gas, I mean, you name it. Distillates of petroleum are all just going like gangbusters. And I just don't know if the stronger dollar, especially now if it starts to pull back, has done anything to that. And I certainly don't think 75 basis points or 275 basis points of Fed funds is going to have much impact. We're going to find out.
We are going to find out. Now, some market moves today that I find pretty interesting and maybe line up with some of that lower growth data, negative growth data that we saw, were base metals selling off broadly. Also, silver. Silver was getting hit today while gold is up. And quite frankly, you look at that silver chart and, well, it's not at the 21 level yet. It is in the low 23s and trending lower. So just how worried are you about silver breaking down?
I'm not yet at this point. I mean, it'd have to, again, a weekly close below 22. But even those intra-week lows at 2150 were reversed twice within the last 6 months. You'd have to break down there before any trend has changed. And it's no different from 2 weeks ago when everybody was, woohoo, silver's at 26. It's going to break out to the upside. It's just still flagging sideways. It's down now 8 days in a row. Corey, I know we talked about this last week, the May option expiration and the May contract going off the board. All the spreads, I've been writing about this now for 6 months, that it's at least is, I mean, my analysis are spreads that are placed through the traded settlement system between the 7th and the 12th or 13th of every month that then get legged out, you know, where you are long the May and short the July, and then you leg out your May and you get these downdrafts. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe there's nothing there, but man, we've had a lot of downdrafts in the last 7 or 8 days. We've gone down 8 days in a row. RSI got down to 31 or 32. It's not the record that I can ever recall was back in May of about 2017, where silver went down 18 days in a row. And the RSI also got to 18. And it's an old urban legend or whatever at TF Metals Report that we talk about. If silver ever goes down 18 days in a row and matches the RSI at 18, it's probably a good buy signal. 8 days in a row in an RSI down to 31 with everybody bearish and getting these expirations behind us, we're probably closer to a low than we are falling off even further.
Well, Craig, if we see it go down 18 days in a row silver and an RSI of 18, I'm going to sure buy, because I remember you guys saying that on your site. But I know you take the longer term view of things, and you've been stacking silver and gold for over a decade, almost two decades. But when you look at the dramatic move we've seen in the mining shares that relate to gold and silver and even some of the other commodities, it has been sudden. As you pointed out at the beginning, GDX took a while to get up there, and then it crashed. It took the stairs up and the elevator down. Do you think that this is a situation where we need to see the metals kind of not just hold where they're at, but start breaking higher to get any more interest into the mining side of the equation?
Yeah, you know, there's a fundamental reason it seemed You know, and like some of the earnings reports like Newmont kind of bore this out, but as did base metal miners like Freeport. The inflation input costs were really squeezing their margins and cash flows, you know, and that sort of thing in the latest earnings reports. And so that kind of started people losing their enthusiasm. But and again, not to make it sound like, gosh, we've talked about this before, guys. I have written lots of times about what is a clear algo-driven correlation between COMEX silver and the GDX. I don't know any other way to describe it, rather, just because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's a few silver miners in the GDX, but why you can plot 6 months, 6 years of COMEX silver and the GDX together and see them with about a 99% correlation makes no sense. And so now here we are again. I mean, silver falls $3.50 in 8 days, and the GDX falls from 41 to 35 in the same time period. I don't know. I'm not going to lay the, you know, I'm just telling you what that it's there. I don't know who it is that does it. I'm not going to lay the blame anywhere other than the fact that it's maybe just another symptom of everything being automated. You know, 90% of the trading volume being HFT, you know, and one thing moves and the butterfly effect ripples across all these other markets that where the computers are trained to buy or sell based upon, you know, this moving versus that. I mean, think about this. Again, gold goes down. Ostensibly, the biggest reason is because the dollar's going up. Okay, well, why is the dollar going up? Well, it's measured by the dollar index. Well, what's a dollar index? Well, it's a measure of the dollar versus all these other fiat. And so the dollar index is only going up because the euro and the yen are in the toilet because they're printing them like crazy. They're trying to support their currency and buy their debt. And in Japan's case, keep yield curve control in place. Well, that's incredibly bullish for gold. You know, for Japanese citizens and European citizens and the rest, but gold goes down because the computers that trade the futures contracts see the dollar going up. And I mean, it's just, the whole thing is, it's so bastardized at this point. Again, so I don't mean to go off on a tangent, but once again, silver crashes into the front month going off the board into delivery as contracts are rolled from May to July when this happens repeatedly. And once again, the GDX and the mining shares go down at the same time.
Well, Craig, just one more question as we wrap up. I know we've talked about the Chinese credit impulse before, but we also have China with many major cities locked on right now. Do you think that has any correlation to the action we've seen in precious metals since they are so focused as buyers in the precious metals market? Is China being closed hurting the precious metal sector?
Yeah, and commodities in general, I suppose, Shad, you know, that maybe there's a slowdown in Chinese buying, but they are still pedal to the metal easing and trying to keep everything afloat on their end. And again, all these Fed prospective rate hikes are pressuring that. And that's, you know, let's put all that, I guess I'm going to spin off into an answer that kind of focuses on the FOMC next week, because that's going to be the big event on Wednesday. You get the, what I call the Fed lines, the press release at 2:00 Eastern next Wednesday, and then Powell a half hour after that. You know, and what another thing that is late, you know, where people say this is what got everything dying last week was Bullard talking about 75 basis points. And Brainerd saying, yeah, you know, maybe. I think that's off the table. And another thing that could really keep the Fed from tightening is the same thing that happened in late 2018 when the stock market fell. And if the Bank of Japan has to continue printing yen to defend their yield curve control, that puts pressure on the Chinese to devalue the yuan. The last time they did that in August of 2015, within a couple of days, the stock market in the U.S. started tanking, and then it fell 10% in 6 days. So as we head into next week, you know, the stock market being up today notwithstanding, you've got all of that pressure from these other central banks. Fed's got to be looking over the horizon at that stuff. You've got the U.S. economy contracting. I think there's a chance, at least, that the headlines Wednesday will be a surprisingly less hawkish than expected Fed, you know, or Powell less hawkish in his comments. All of a sudden, the dollar pulls back from 20-year highs. And, you know, we look back on today's prices and go, yeah, you know what? That was a low late last week. And we'll see. Talk about it next week, I guess.
Yes, we will. It's going to be interesting to see. And I'm with you. A 75 basis point hike, that's not going to happen. But if we do get a 50 basis point hike, that's going to be the largest hike since the year 2000. So 22 years away. Let's see how the market reacts to that, because that does seem to be where the Fed is going. But the GDP data, that could throw a little wrench in it. Oh, man, it's very interesting to watch. And hopefully something gets the precious metals going. But they are still broadly in a downtrend. Nice little bounce in the stocks today, though. Craig, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. Hope you have a great rest of your week. And we'll chat again next week.
All right, boys. I look forward to it. We'll have a lot to talk about.